please understand, we are not suggesting that you scan through your radio dial, but if you did, you would find plenty of static. And if you're in the right place at the right time, you might find one Atlanta artist inhabiting the radio waves. She's not broadcasting per se, she's narrowcasting, reaching people just a few feet from her transmission. That artist is Meredith Cooey. She's also a PhD student at Emory University, and she's doing a lecture and performance at the Atlanta Zine Festival tomorrow under the title, Why Go Terrestrial? How Radio Can Benefit You and Your Life. Producer Gabby Watt spoke with Meredith about her upcoming lecture and her work with narrowcasting.
So I actually did a public performance this past weekend for Little Five Arts Alive. I did a piece called L5P Live PSAs, and it was 4 hours, and I did a terrestrial broadcast and also a secondary online stream and invited people to co-host with me and just live radio right in Little Five Points. And there's something about giving people a microphone to speak that I think can be really powerful. And why I'm really interested in terrestrial broadcasts and specifically narrowcasting is that it's all about proximity. You have to be within a certain geographic range, location to access the broadcast. So the people that are talking are actually very close to you. And so who are those people? Who are you listening? There's this really amazing radio artist and theorist, Anna Friz, who talks about proximity and resonance. Radio is resonance as opposed to just radiation. It's not just about sending out, it's about creating a field. And that's what is most interesting to me about terrestrial broadcast and narrow cast, like very particularly micro radio and micro FM.
Yeah, because I thought the interesting, at first when I was thinking about narrowcasting, I was thinking it more as the idea of, you know, creating content for an exclusive group of people. But then at the same time, if you think about radio, it's information that is transmitted to you and you, the consumer, doesn't necessarily get to transmit back.
Right. And actually, this was in the 1930s, the playwright Bertolt Brecht. He wrote this really great short essay called Radio is an Apparatus of Communication. And he was basically desiring and fantasizing for radio transmitters to be on street corners. And so it could be a two-way channel and that anybody could engage, interact, participate in radio instead of just being a consumer, just being on the receiving end.
And what do you think, very hypothetically, the world would be like if there weren't, or we can say what the United States, for example, would be like, what Atlanta would be like if there weren't such heavy FCC restrictions on radio signals, if there was more access for communities to, you know, even have a 2 mile radius signal?
Well, what's interesting is that CB radio used to be more like that, you know, and at the early history of radio, before it was regulated, it was like that. One of the reasons it got regulated is because the channels got so jammed because everybody wanted to use it. So I think that's really indicative of the desire to be on radio and use radio. And I think, I mean, particularly for Atlanta, you know, there's all of this talk about how things are being developed right now and communities. And, you know, this is happening everywhere, right? But we're right here right now. So, you know, let's think about Atlanta. So then thinking about how those communities are displaced and what's the voice that communities have and what are the access points to tell those stories and hear those stories. So in a way, I think that if there was a greater access to putting your voice out there in whatever way, I think that it would be really beneficial for local communities. I think that it could definitely be a political organizing tool. And a really powerful one because it's relatively easy to use and access. You don't need to have a computer to access a radio. You just need a radio receiver.
For you, as someone who has done art with terrestrial signals, like you quite literally need those signals to create your art. So obviously an internet stream would not benefit that art medium. But, you know, beyond that, what do you think, you know, in these kind of microcosm, micro-signal environments, what do you think is the result is the importance of having a terrestrial signal that someone can broadcast on versus an internet stream?
Mm-hmm. I think that both of them working together is really interesting and really important, actually. But I wouldn't want to substitute the internet stream for the terrestrial broadcast. I still think that it's important to have an on-the-ground broadcast, specifically for creating that resonant field. And, you know, one of the problems with that is, you know, who are the listeners? Does it matter? Will I ever know these people, or is anybody there? Radio is a really existential medium, right? Because it's always asking who's out there.
You're speaking into the void.
Yeah, kind of. But I also like to think, I like to think of it as more embodied. So maybe it's a void, but it's also an actual space that maybe no one happens to be inhabiting at any certain point in time. But my voice comes from me, and maybe someone picks that up. And that's a physical trace. That's embodied. You know, but one of the problems is then only a very small population could access it. So I think that the internet streams are super important in that regard, letting a broader audience have access to the work. But I would hesitate to privilege the internet stream over that.
And so you're speaking and performing at the Atlanta Zine Fest. And usually when you think of zines, or zines, they're DIY magazines. So how do you find radio fitting into zine culture?
Well, I think zines have always had a connection to audio culture. So talking about music, talking about all things audio. And then there's also the DIY ethos, not having to go through a big publisher to make the work, which is, I think, the same for mini FM and narrowcasting, not having to get someone's permission to put the work out there. You know, and I think what's going to be really interesting at the Zine Fest this year is it's digital DIY, right? So thinking about how zine culture and, you know, internet cultures, you know, what's their relationship to each other. And what I'm really interested in is the physical zine, right? You can hold it, you can flip through it, you can, you know, see the hand that made it, which is, I think, similar in my desire for radio as a tool of proximity.
Well, Meredith Cooey, thank you so much for coming in and talking about your upcoming discussion at the Atlanta Zine Festival.
Thank you so much.